Hello there. After Sarah Dunn and I had done a Cosmic Soup recording this week, we talked for another hour. And so you're going to hear an hour of talking that I haven't even listened to yet. But I think it's probably going to be okay, because it seemed to be okay at the time. Thank you for listening. Okay, so, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. That, you know, talking just real quick, this is just 'cause something that I made a note of. When he was talking about the different dimensions and how they were, he was talking so fast, and then of course I had it on double time, but he was talking about how they were able to like zoom in and see that it's like our reality has actually been kind of like patched together through different dimensions. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, he was talking.
And that it's actually is a construct based on like different levels of different, you know, like dimensions, you know, like fifth dimension, sixth dimension, and that it is actually all patchwork together. And I just found it so interesting because coupled with what we were talking about of my perception of just that everything has been a lie, everything that we're told, even now, I feel, is just a script, a lie. Okay, we got this going. Like, there's this big command center, you know. We're like, okay, we got this going on over here. We're going to have this happen and this happen to distract from this. And then over here, you know, it's just like, what are we going to tell everybody is going on here? It never seems to be, well, this happened, we have to disclose it to the public. It's, this happened, what's our story going to be? It's just a feeling I have. So when I hear like news, my gut instantly knows that's not true. And I just feel it going off like left and right, left and right, left and right, to the point where I just don't even tune into it anymore. I find my own, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, I put these shows up on Rumble. So I think the first tweet, the first show, I sent you the links to them, but you just need to go to the archives.
I did that first time.
Yeah,
I did go and listen for a while.
But you can also watch them over on Rumble on Cosmic Reality Radio Station.
Okay.
And I get those up a couple of days after. Sometimes more. It takes me more to do the videos.
What I was going to say is I remembered this quote, and it always pops into my head. William Casey, the CIA director, who said, "We'll know our disinformation campaign is a success when virtually everything the American believes is false."
Yep.
And they have succeeded, I think. Although I feel like it's coming apart, finally.
Oh, yeah. Big time coming apart. I mean, let's see. Day 12 of the New York Vice Trump trial underway. Yeah, the judge threatened him with prison again today.
So I heard, I heard that. And I heard that, so it's still just a threat. He's not actually, because they throw him in jail. I mean, that's intentional to start a civil war, as far as I'm concerned. That's not good. They do that, and then.
Well, there's a whole theory about the art of war, and you can look it up. The art of war. It's a Army field manual that was put together, I think, in 2019, and what it did was it stipulated that the law of war. What it stipulated was that you had to have certain, it was very much looking at domestic terrorism and an attack from the outside, you know, all of this sort of thing. But there was this autistic kid that was following, I think he started with Q, but then he got into this, and he took apart what was happening on the geopolitical scene and matching it with the things that have to be in place before the military can take over the government. And yeah. It was really dead on.
Yeah.
You know? And one of the premise of it is that for the military to, on its own, take the authority to, you know, essentially take out the government, they would have to prove, and they delineate what the proof is in this book, that the House of Commons was, the enemy was in charge of it. The senators were all enemy. Mm-hmm. The judicial and all of the branches were somehow involved with this, okay?
Okay.
And the last thing to go is the judicial department.
So you think that's what they're like revealing right now? Is the judiciary corruption?
Right. At first, I thought they were going after the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court was making some very
Dicey decisions. Yeah, just call them dicey.
And then all of a sudden this started happening, which is unraveling at the local level the absolute perversion of the Justice Departments.
Right.
And so, yeah, it could be the they put him in jail. That could be the final nail in the book that says you've proven you're unworthy and therefore have a legal reason for the military to take over.
Okay, my next question then, if that's the case, is that a good thing?
Well, it depends on, you know, who's won the military.
Exactly. That's what I like with this.
I believe it's God.
Okay.
I remember I'm military.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But you've been out of the military. Like, I don't know about the military now. Like, who's in the, like, they're letting these illegals into the military. So I don't know who our military is anymore. That's the only reason I'm asking. I have tremendous respect for the military historically. I mean, my goodness.
No. You just relax. There's white hat military. Okay. Now.
Yeah.
These are people that. You know, I chose to leave the military because I wasn't going to live. I wouldn't have lived. I decided to leave and take another whack at it. Okay?
Okay.
So, but the people that are in the military, there is a camaraderie that goes beyond what somebody who has not been in that. I mean, you get it in a group. You know, you're with a group and you feel very connected, or a church. But in the military, the history, you get haunted by the soldiers that went before you. It's something so deep that I trust it implicitly. And I can virtually know if somebody is prior military because of that telltale signal that they are a brother, a sister. So those people have been very much aware of things that were going wrong, but they got together and with John Kennedy, and they assassinated Kennedy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That shocked them because they thought that the enemy was not as powerful as it turned out to be. Okay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much the assassination, it was the cover-up.
Right.
All of a sudden, you saw all of these cockroaches coming out of the walls, and you're going everywhere, right?
Right.
So then you have the same kind of people. A lot of them did leave, couldn't handle it. And then you have a lot of them that, you know, did stay with it. But there's also been, Jesus.
Was it that same lady?
Yeah. The thing of it is that a lot of them left, but they didn't leave the military. They just couldn't work with, like I did, you know. We got to find a different route to do this. They're not so much the military, but the higher-ups in the military. Because you get to be a major, and then you go from major to bird colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Up to major, it's on your merits.
Are you qualified? Okay, but after that, it's all politics. Okay, so the upper echelon, I mean, colonel, I'm sorry, colonel, it goes up, the majors are all safe, everybody below that, but when you get to colonel and then bird colonel and then the generals, that's all political. And he was a colonel. Okay. And he came to me and he said, I want you to write me a super briefing. And I said, what's a super briefing? He said, whatever it takes to get my bird. So I did. I delivered that briefing to him. It upturned the entire intelligence community. Everything changed. And as soon as the basic effects of it happened, he left and went to work for the Navy, I think it was. But it was like, from just being, you know, a ground trooper, I understood the politics behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at one point, I was supposed to go brief the general of the Air Defense Command, and I'm in the airport and we're being ushered out with this representative of the general, and all of a sudden he kind of took a double take, and he said to me, I don't know what's happening, but that's the general and he's getting on a plane. And what had happened is that before I even could brief him on my super briefing, he had been called back to Washington, D.C., because they already knew about it.
I'm confused. So what was it that you were...
I don't
understand. Go ahead.
The super briefing was that I could prove that the Russians would win any kind of war, without doubt. And it would be based on electromagnetic energies, warfare on the battlefield.
Okay, now I understand why it was such a big deal.
Yeah, I could prove that the Russians would take out our air defense system.
And this was back when?
1973.
Oh my gosh.
And I could prove to them that the Russians, because I was acknowledged the Soviet military expert for the Army. I had written the program of instruction at the intelligence school itself. I worked all the time with NSA.
So what was happening then when he said that that's general getting on a plane? And
well, what had happened was that he was the commander of the air defense, and I had just told the generals of the Army and apparently the Congress too, that within 20 minutes of turning on their radars, all of the systems would be destroyed. And my generals were like they didn't want to believe me, you know, dissidents.
Yeah,
you know, our whole battlefield, you just said our whole battlefield is useless. Yes, sir. Yeah. I did. And but they sent me there to tell him, and you know, then the Washington heard about it and took the general there to, you know, try to dispute what I was saying.
They didn't want him to hear what you had to say.
I had just told them that they never survived the battlefield.
Right.
In 20 minutes, it would be, you know, gone. And this is a traditional German battlefield. It was all on Warsaw Pact attack on the West. And so what they did was they immediately got me working with one of the biggest think tanks in the Washington area they spent $1 million, and that money, $1 million with this company, to essentially hoping that they would be able to disprove what I was saying. And so they went through all the database that I had gone through, and they came up with the same conclusion.
So where are we now in 2024 with the Russians? I mean, if that was our situation back then, all things being equal, as you know, countries progress and develop, it begs the question, where do we stand against Russia now? I'm hearing it's not too well.
Not at all. But, I mean, China, any of them.
Yeah.
They're taking us down and they haven't fired a shot yet.
Right. Well, look at our military. Look what they did to the military. China didn't vaccinate their military.
Look at what they're doing with the Ukraine thing.
Yeah.
They're depleting the military. This last bill, they say, oh, yeah, we're going to give them all these billions of dollars, and the industry, the defense industry, will get all this money. They're getting, they're selling off their old equipment. We don't have any fucking army, military. No,
They were pulling in old men and women.
Who?
They were conscripting Ukraine.
Oh, the Ukraine.
Ukraine. They want American boots on the ground in Ukraine. Like, they want our sons come over there and fight. Let's see how that flies.
That's the hub of the black state. The Kakistanians. That's their main. The reason that Putin went in there was A, the biolabs. There were 25 of them.
Right.
That was in a Congress, yes, that was true, and the fact that they had the reason that I'm so sure that there's more white hats out there that, you know, working, is that I do work with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't talk about it because every once in a while I get called in for some information.
Mm-hmm.
Or to help in doing certain things. And they call it my spooky powers. You know? And so, Ani Abazisian, she's a shaman that worked for British intelligence. You know, it's not like the military doesn't know about us people. You know?
Right.
They just
don't want to admit it.
They can't admit it. Because they were secret, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was prohibited from leaving the United States.
Really?
I was in, couldn't get a passport. So the thing of it is that there's so many things that are happening. That I think it might have been in this tape, in this 3 hours, one of them, and I think it was Tucker, or maybe, no, I think it actually was Joe, said that Trump had been asked why he never released the JFK tape, and Trump said, because I've read them and you don't want to read them. You know, what did that mean?
I think I can imagine. And also I heard that Pompeo convinced him not to.
Well, Pompeo was really dirty.
Funny because when he became
Secretary of State
after being with the CIA, I'm like, oh, this isn't good. I just had a bad feeling about him. I hadn't really thought much about him, but when he went from CIA to Secretary of State, I just had a super bad feeling about it. And then I've just kind of watched ever since then, and it's just been like, not good, not good, not good. And then I heard that, and I'm like, and I did hear about what Trump said. And I think it goes to, and I also wanted to mention this, because in listening to you, I'm just reminded a lot. So when the whole Q thing first came on the scene in 2017, I was like, came across it. I was like, okay. I didn't like get crazy about it. And like, I followed people who followed it so I could kind of find out what was being said, but I didn't personally go in. And they were talking about, you know, white hats. They were talking about, you know, that there are people in the military who have been, you know, who are well aware of what, you know. And so, but again, this whole thing of mixing information with disinformation, and is some of it's true, but then this isn't true. So if you realize, if you're like, okay, well, all this is true, therefore they said this too, this must be true as well, but maybe not, you know, and maybe that's all part of the, you give them so much truth and then throw some some, you know, disinformation in there. And then that colors what the truth, you know, and so it just gets, so I sort of backed away from it because, I don't know, it just seemed to go back and forth too much. And I just couldn't really discern anymore what was.
The thing of it is that what they were, what the Q, and it was like six guys behind the scenes working this thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What they were trying to do was to create an environment for rational thinking, to make people, okay? But the only way you can even understand it is to study the whole thing. And there's people out there that have done it. I am not one of them. But I have read what they've said.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because continually through the script, the years of it, there would be a phrase that nobody could understand. The future will prove the past.
Yes.
Okay. And then all of a sudden,
I thought Project Looking Glass might come into play where that was.
Yes. But Looking Glass is, I know the people that are behind it. It's got a lot of problems with it. It's based on probability. Okay. Mm-hmm. And depending on the energy being put out by any person, you can change everything. One person can change everything. And that's what's confounding them.
Mm.
You see? So, just to give you an example of that. So I go through the Bible thing and I realize, okay, if I reach back for my brothers, if I try to help the rest of humanity, then I'm going to be written out of the book of life. That means I cease and desist and never existed. And to me, it was, I could not go on into eternity knowing I did not reach back. So
I've never seen that phrase that you're referring to. I'm really curious.
It's there.
I've read a lot of different Bibles. I've never seen that. And so I'm just really curious about it.
It was the St. James Version, but there's been Mandela effects, okay? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. It matters that I thought that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that as I'm going through this process, I have a friend of mine who gets on the phone with me, and he's kind of crazy. I mean, he's like babbling. And I'm going, slow down, what in the hell are you still talking about? Well, the story is that he had been to a friend's house, and the husband was there. And the husband was an amateur astronomer, as well as being very, very highly credentialed. I mean, he was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been studying this comet that was named Kohoutek, because of the astronomer that detected it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reading Astronomy Today, I think it was. And they got into giving the trajectory of this comet. And this went over many months, okay? But then it started to become scary because what the final trajectory was that it would intersect with Earth on December 25th. Okay.
What year?
1972 or 3.
Okay.
Two probably. In that vicinity. And then the reason that the guy, that Steve was kind of like whacked out was that the guy was so whacked out. He said because the last installment of the magazine, they refused to give the end trajectory. You had to do it yourself. Okay?
Right.
So in the midst of this, I hear about this Kohoutek thing, right? But I just read Revelations, and I realized that, and I had also read a book called Planets in Collision by Velikovsky. And it was his belief that a comet had it intersected with Earth, and there was a tremendous, they didn't hit, but there was a tremendous electromagnetic reaction that caused the comet to become the planet Venus. and answered all the questions of, you know, what happened at the time of Moses. It's a fascinating book. And he was one of the highest ranked scientists in the world until he wrote that, and then they all said he was a nutcase, you know. And he said that Venus would be proven to be, I forget what it is, carbon, oxygen, I think. The same thing as a comet is, that Venus would be the same chemical composition, and yet at the time, every measurement they had said, no, it was full of ammonia. Well, they did a probe, and it turned out he was right. But anyway, I could see that the first phase of revelations was a comet. Now that I've, you know, put these two things together, and I'm going like, whoa, okay, all right. So the book says that if I deny revelations, then we're taken out of the book of life. And the revelation says we're all going to get screwed to begin with, to end it. So, and I got into a real meditative state, and I said three times, I deny revelations, I deny revelations, I deny revelations. That comet took a 90-degree turn. And nobody could explain it. So that's why I'm so, and this is only one of many episodes where I've been given a unique, they only need one. They only need one. And, I mean, at one time, my cat all of a sudden started talking to me. And the cat was linked up to the Galactic Federation. Long story, I've told it many times. And at the time that the cat talked to me, there had been a UFO, circular UFO, that landed in the town square of a city that begins with V, 1980, three's there, but I don't think it was three, I think it was later than that. But it landed, and it was publicized by the Soviets. It hit all the news media, okay? And what came out of this thing, honest to God, this is the strangest story.
Was it in Russia that it landed?
Yes, right, 200 miles from Moscow.
Okay.
In a city that begins with V. But what happened was that the door opened up and a ramp came down, and there was a humanoid thing there in a spacesuit and a robot. Now, that is so reminiscent of the day the world stood still. The original, the black and white, probably before your time.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one.
Okay, and it, Reeves did a remake of it, but the one that we saw in the 50s, it was identical. I mean, there was a human, Michael Rene was the human, the actor, and it was a robot. It was exactly the same scene, you know?
Mm-hmm. And
it gets very cloudy. All of a sudden, the information got stamped on and everything. But when I'm talking to the cat, they said that there was a ET group, and I don't know if they called them the Marauders or I just put the name on them, but this ET group that was about to attack Earth, and they had been mining green tourmaline. They had been mining green tourmaline from the planet for eons. Because of, in their society and the way that they built everything, this green tourmaline was critical for their infrastructure. And because Earth did not have anybody who claimed dominion over it, they were free to do this. The Galactic Federation couldn't do anything about it because Earth was, nobody had claimed dominion on it. So I said, and the cat was sent to me to be like this conduit of information, okay? Because I probably, it was weirder to look at the cat and know the cat's talking to me, but it was real. She was in my lap, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Than to get this incredibly detailed information from, you know, some telepathic unknown source. Mm-hmm. So I said, so if I'm understanding that we're under attack and that only one person can say claim dominion, and then you guys can step in and get rid of them? And they said, yes, exactly. And I said, okay, I'll claim dominion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And problem solved. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just have the strangest stories, and you know, I mean, I've been.
Well, you know, before I forget to ask you, because I meant to ask you last week and I forgot, or 2 weeks ago. What do you make of these aliens in Miami and in Vegas that seem to have been like almost identical stories? You hear the people describe these things and the videos that you've seen, and what's your take on those?
I didn't know they'd gone to Las Vegas.
They first appeared in Vegas, and I just saw the teenager who made the call, because he's like, we're not looking for, you know, notoriety. I am not looking for clicks. I am not, you know, and you could tell that he was terrified. And they showed the video, which I had not seen before. And what you can see, the thing is on the other side of the fence, and there's slats through the fence. It's at night, you know. And they're going out in their backyard, and you can see this thing moving towards the fence. Like, it's like a corner, right? And so through the slats, you can see something moving, and it's tall, and you can see its head come into the frame, and it's like a shadow. It's like you can see through it, then you can't see through it, then you can see through it, then you can't see through it. And it's exactly the way multiple different people in Miami described these things. They were like, it was like they were translucent, then they were solid, then they were translucent, then they were solid.
They were holographic. They were holographic.
Exactly. So that was my question, is do you think that this is just, this sounded like a hologram to me? But
well, see,
also, there was allegedly power outages, issues with the airports in Miami, like all simultaneously happening when this thing supposedly like would have landed. And in Vegas, the cops had seen something from the sky and then got this report called in. So then they went to where this kid had called in from, and they're like, yeah, we saw something. So it, you know what I'm saying? It's not just the beings themselves, it's that there was also,
okay,
you know, coincidentally the same.
Okay, think in terms of just pure science, holographic. Okay, you've seen holograms where it looks like a shark swimming around a tank, right? You've
seen. Oh yeah, I've seen all the like.
Oh, okay, all right. So, but to get that image, it has to be. It's a very complicated thing because you need to be able to see it from a certain perspective.
Sure.
And when you want something that's 360 degree perspective, that's a whole different thing.
Interesting.
So why would you have some kind of a aircraft up there? Well, because you want to be able to project this holographic image.
Mm.
You're not going to be able to sit in some building and project it. You know, I mean, from a standpoint of science, it would be very difficult. It could be done. It could be very well planned. Let's assume that it, you know, the one in Las Vegas was an airborne. Let's assume Miami, they were on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You're draining a tremendous amount of electricity to create this hologram.
Mm.
So you're
I see. Okay.
The electric system.
That would explain. Okay.
The fact that they seem to be fading in and out is because you have to be in a certain perspective to see it.
Interesting. Okay.
And you're seeing it, it looks very real.
You want to know another interesting thing that somebody did is they got into the whole reversal, you know, as above, so below, and that kind of thinking. And so they reversed the coordinates, did the opposite coordinates of Miami. Because apparently this happened twice. This kind of a thing happened twice in Miami, years apart. I don't know anything more about it other than that this was supposedly it happened before. But the inverted coordinates are in the South Pole where those pyramids are. Now, I haven't personally verified this or anything. This was just somebody else who was like doing this and was like, check this out, you know. So it's, but I just found that super interesting considering all of the trips that world leaders have made to the South Pole, to this particular area, and all the, you know, talk of Middle Earth and all these different, I just found it so interesting. Of all places, you know. And then it brings in the thought of interdimensional, and is there ways of, you know, zooming through some wormhole? I don't know. That's all outside my purview, so to speak, but I just found it really interesting.
We actually know a lot about the science that they're using, and it doesn't have anything to do with, per se, gravity. It's all electromagnetic.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is that when I started with your brother in 2019, I thought it was a waste of my time to do a show on 5G. I'd been fighting this mm-hmm. fucking stuff for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a tremendous amount of hope. I mean, there's always something that can go cockeyed, but I don't see it in this scenario. There's just too much on our side.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't, because Michael was the one who told me about it, about the 5G. And uh-huh. I talked about it in 2019. We went to visit friends in Bend, and she was a nurse, and I started talking about 5G, and they're like, what are you talking about? I never heard of this, never heard of this. And I don't know that it had any impact, but I have talked about it ongoing ever since then. And it occurred to me even back then when, what was that guy, Tom, the FCC guy, when they were first, you know, implementing this and putting the towers up. And right. They had people in these press conferences that are calling out that there's been no testing done on, you know, the effects on humans. And then these people were thrown out of the conference.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute. And then there was that congressional hearing where they asked how much money has been dedicated. Oh, turns out none. And I'm like, what are they going to do when they turn this on and people start getting cancer and people, you know, and well, then of course came COVID. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is how they're going to explain it. And then it was combine the 5G with this whatever. And then you find out that, oh, they ramped up 5G on that cruise ship. 5G was deployed in Northern Italy. 5G, like all the places where the supposed COVID exploded were the same places that deployed 5G. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then, oh, they didn't worry about the effects on humans because they're planning to get rid of the humans anyway. This is about AI. It's about supporting AI, supporting what they need to make the world run without all the pesky human beings. So they don't care. And the more harmful it is to human beings, the better. All of a sudden, it's like, no, this is the plan. It's not like they're being negligent. They actually are wanting it to be harmful. They just don't want anyone to know yet. And the vaccines, of course, well, we need everybody to take it because it's not, you know, then everything, again, when I talk about all the pieces falling into place, it's like boom, 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 boom. And then nobody will listen to you. And you feel like your head's going to explode. So I'm, for one, I'm glad that you, you know, decided to do the show because it helps my head not explode just to be able to talk to you about it. You know, well, about what we see and the frustration of people with their who prefer to literally bury their heads in the sand knowingly is very hard for me to wrap my head around. Like, see, you want to not be prepared. You want to be caught completely unprepared. That is your preference. Okay. Hard to understand, but, you know, to each his own. I got to move on. And that's, I guess, where my head goes when you talk about not reaching back for your brother. There is a section that comes to my mind that talks about if they don't know the gospel, it's your obligation to tell them because otherwise their blood is on your hands if they die and never knowing. But if you tell them and they refuse to believe, you tell them again and they just say, nope, I'm not in, then you're done. Then it's time to move on and don't associate with that person because they will drag you down. You've given them the gift of the gospel, you've informed them, and now it's up to them to make their decision. But it's not up to you to convince them. It's just to inform. And that's the part that when it comes to siblings, it's very difficult because we have, you know, obviously personal feelings that extend beyond just giving you information is, you know, I'd like you to believe it.
Well, okay, let's unwrap a little bit of that. First off, the concept of taking control over everything and the vision that Rogan kind of displayed, you know, this crazy-ass transhumanism.
Yeah, it's going to fail. I'm not worried about it, you know. Are you?
I'm trying to explain this to you, okay? Think about it. What they're missing is the concept of consciousness, collective consciousness, okay?
Exactly.
So you listen to what Alex Jones is saying, and he's saying they want to tie in and they want to control and they want to, you know, that's how they're going. It's a neural net of the collective consciousness. Somehow or another, these godlike human beings, in quotations,
yeah. Small dude.
are going to be able to enter, you know, get into the neuron thing of the brain, okay? But hopefully they think they're going to control the consciousness. No. That's the fallacy.
Right. They think that.
They think that, okay?
But see, that's the part where we need the supernatural protection, because that's what faith gives you. So if you have the faith, you've got the protection. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have the faith, maybe because they've always been atheists, they never know whatever, and don't have the protection. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. They just are not, you know, in possession of the truth yet. So I guess that's where, you know.
Okay, I want to try this again. I'm talking about consciousness. All right? I wasn't too far into this game from the radio standpoint before I knew it's a waste of my time trying to explain all this to people because I'd been doing it for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what is my purpose here? And I realized that my purpose was to talk, to have conversations, to influence the super consciousness of humanity. Every thought we have goes there. Okay, so if you want to really make a difference, then you do a lot of these discussions and you put that into the collective consciousness, then the collective consciousness is the fundamental basis for the subconscious in every human being. So the dark side wants to go through the human being to get to their subconscious to be able to control the super consciousness, the collective consciousness of humanity. And I said, no, we're going to control the super consciousness of humanity. And that's why I did that show, was mm-hmm. that I began to realize that the real power is to play the consciousness game. And it doesn't come from the mechanism of books and learning. My God, there's too much information out there. But when you get into the energetic fields of consciousness, you have unlimited power, unlimited source of information. And all you have to do is to put that into the subconscious of people. So part of the problem that it's not working for them regarding the vaccinations and the control and the 5G and everything else is because at the subconscious level, so many people are saying no. Okay, feeding that consciousness, that super consciousness, they have to have a contract. Human beings have to make a contract. Now, the lucky thing is that these brain-dead backdrop people that are just playing this weird, weird game that they're playing, they are not thinkers. Otherwise, they wouldn't be programmable. And so they're not influencing the collective consciousness. And that was why there was such a time-critical situation occurring, because the dark side realized if you give humanity enough time, they're going to make these jumps.
Right.
And, you know, so that's why they rushed everything. And in rushing everything, right. The 5G system was designed to operate on power that was not there.
Right.
The 5G system is not what they wanted it to be. Then they had to, oh my God, okay, so it's not this, or let's put some reflective stuff in people so that we can not need as much power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like a radar that has a, you know, sees something on the you know, mm-hmm. this hitting another, it picks it up. You know, I mean, it's so yeah. so there's so much to it, but the key is that they could not, and will not, I don't believe, be able to get to a point where they can overwhelm the collective consciousness of humanity that is on the side of God. Whatever
I agree.
God think about.
I agree. I'm not worried. And I but understand what you're saying. No, but I think you think I don't understand. I do. Everything you've said is, what I was saying is that I was glad you did the show for this very reason, because the conversations, not instruction, but conversations are what, especially over, you know, a period of time, an hour or 2 hours, is what gets people's, it triggers their own mind to start thinking instead of just being and going with the flow. Is it instills thoughts that don't jive with the flow, and you start to go, oh, wait a minute. And that's all it takes, is that jarring to pull you out of that flow that you're in and to wake up. And I just feel like that is what's happened. So through you and Michael, and then I found out, and then I started, you know, planting seeds in people that maybe they didn't pay attention at the time. But a few years later, when they start hearing 5G, and then it's like, wait, I remember something, you know, and I just feel like that's how it works, is that, you know, seeds get planted, and then somebody else comes along and maybe feeds and waters. And then, you know, a few more months, something else comes along. And I feel like that's what happened to me, that all of a sudden puzzle pieces of questions I'd always sort of just puzzled about started randomly to fall into peace when I wasn't even looking, but I fall into place, you know, and different subject matter that all sort of started to fall into this places, you know, even though when I was looking somewhere else. And it's just been nonstop, like it's come in a flood of, you know, discernment. And to, like, I pray for it every day, and then it's like it came, and now it's just trying to make sense of it all, and then to try to package it so that other people hear it but don't think you're a loon is challenging in itself. But no, I always go back to that. It's like, yeah, they think they've got this all worked out, but, you know, he's always going to lose. And I don't know if it was Trump's election that threw everything into high gear, where they started, like, speeding everything up and just making, like, really stupid mistakes. But it's been kind of fun to watch this year so far, I'll say that. I just hope the walls keep tumbling down.
Well, the thing of it is that from a purely military standpoint, okay, their chosen weapons are very vulnerable. Now, what they didn't gamble on was Shungite. And Shungite is mystical in many, many ways. But Shungite evens the playing field, because they have built this telecommunications system worldwide, the electric grid, the Wi-Fi, all that, all over the world. And it's based on the desire to weaken human beings,
uh-huh.
to keep their brains muddled so that they can't think right, to keep them
right.
sick, can't think right, keep them from thinking. So they built this all out. Well, the fact of the matter is that with Shungite, all you need to do is take the same system, put Shungite devices in certain areas, you know, nodes of the system, and what happens is that the electrics part of it reverses, so it's no longer harmed from the electricity. But more importantly, you can program those devices to put out healing frequencies. So that the structure they built to destroy us is a structure that will kill us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The nanotech that they've got in their trying to get into our bodies. Well, there's a doctor out there, Alfonso Monzo. Dr. Monzo is a naturopath, and he's discovered that all the nanotech can be absolutely destroyed. You're making a lot of noise there.
I'm sorry. I'm just letting the dog out.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. that all the nanotech can be destroyed through magnetism. And he created, took a piece of wood, and he put in the very powerful neo something or other magnets, and
neodymium, yeah.
Yeah. And then he just takes the thing and walks around the person and waves it around their body, and all the nanotech just disintegrates. Because you're probably too young to know this, but when we first started out with computers, you could not get a magnet near those things. You know, I've got a magnet on my case for my phone. Huh. If I stick that on the computer, it would erase the computer.
Oh, right.
Okay, so then this nanotech is based on the same stuff. So, you know, that's all it's going to take. So you put these magnets in the doorways of public places, and people just walk through them, and all the nanotech is...
Really? Gone. So you're talking about the nanotech that's creating these white fibrous clot-like structures. Yeah. That stuff would like just literally dissolve?
Well, I don't know what'll happen with the stuff that's there. I mean, I he didn't get into it, and you know, I don't. It's an amazing Mark and
I
did.
It's blown my mind. It's blown my mind.
Mark and I, Alfonso Monzo.
How amazing would that be?
Well, but it's true. You know, so there's 1,000 ways to get rid of stuff.
Well, you know, I just look at even like with Peter McCullough. So, and this is one of the reasons you talked about that guy saying, why aren't people dying? Intermittent fasting mitigates the effects of spike. It destroys spike. It triggers cellular autophagy. So the cells literally consume their own toxic waste and consume all the stuff that's causing the problem. Intermittent fasting triggers this autophagy that is literally the body's way of cleansing itself. So you talk about the Bible, how often they talk about fasting. And the fasting heightens your connection with God, heightens your spiritual connection, you're praying, all that. It's fasting. And he even talks about when you fast, not if you fast. Jesus says when you fast. It's a given. It's an automatic. And I just found that fascinating, that to find out intermittent fasting is something I do naturally, normally, like without thinking about it. I didn't even know about it. I hadn't heard of it. It was just my whole life. I never felt like eating until afternoon. Never ate breakfast. And then come to find out, based on your age, depending on how old you are, there's so many hours that you eat versus so many hours that you fast during the day. So once you hit, I think it's 60, it's you eat for 12 and you fast for 12. And that's kind of what I do normally. And I never get sick. Never get sick. My whole life, I've like never got flu shots, never just getting sick was just not something I did. And I always attributed it to my dad and our, you know, nutritional food and all the, but maybe that's what it was. And then I talking to some of my siblings who they're like, you know, I do the same thing. I never really thought about it. So I just thought that was interesting too, because it's such a easy, natural thing. And I don't like to talk to people about what the vaccine is really doing, if they've gotten it, if I don't have anything to offer them that they can do to make themselves better, to mitigate any ill effects. And so once I found out, gosh, there's a lot of things you can do. You know, of course, there's the natokinase and the, you know, vitamin D and all the usuals. But this on top of it, I just feel like I do have something to offer now. So there is a reason to keep talking about it, even though people who've already gotten it and regret it, it's like, that's okay. There's things you can do. And a lot of them, I think, don't want to hear about this, you know, unfortunate decision they made, because they don't want to acknowledge that they made an unfortunate decision, because they don't realize there are things you can do about it. It's just like, well, there's nothing I can do. I this is more than I can really wrap my head around. So I don't want to hear about it. So that's another part of it that I just feel like I wish people would allow me to speak long enough to understand that I'm not like, oh, you're so dumb you did this. It's okay, you were lied to and deceived. And so this is where you're at, but there's still things you can do. But I never seem to even get to that point before I get, you know, people just shut you down the minute you start talking about it. So, I don't know.
Well, they shut you down because they can't take anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned that, you know, you just give them little hints. And, yeah. You know, I mean, I did the best I could for my family. I told them the truth. They chose not, and I called it bioweapon. I wasn't holding on any of it. Yeah. And they chose to disregard me, and now I am a terrible annoyance to them. Not
we don't have any, join the club.
We don't have any connection whatsoever, but it's an annoyance because I keep representing the truth, and they know they're lying to themselves. So, you know, there's nothing more I can do.
It's good. I'm glad I'm talking to you about it because it's exactly what I experienced last night with my brother Mark, who was like my protector growing up. He was, I mean, like our whole lives, he's been, you know, and he just, it's affecting him in I don't know.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I got to tell you, this was so astounding to me. Of course, we have all this stuff happening on the universities, and finally Biden gets out there to, you know, talk against the, I'm sorry, wrong speech. He was giving a speech at the media when they get together with the media. I forget what they call it. It's a yearly
Correspondence dinner.
Yeah, correspondence dinner. And he's giving this speech, and he comes out and he says, he makes a few jokes and stuff, and then he says, "You know, we can't be partisan here. We can't, you know, be partisan. We have to all work." And he's talking to correspondents. We have to all work to protect. And he was very specific. He said, "Democracy, United States democracy." Mm-hmm. And then he said, "We all play a role. I play a role, you play a role."
Interesting. It's a big production.
Yeah.
It's a play.
So, you know, if you're open to it, you start to see the telltale signs.
For sure. I always pay attention to the words they use because it's so telling. And whenever they're asked a question that's a, you know, that they can't answer honestly, I always pay attention to the words they use. Because one of their favorite things when they're caught is to say, "I have always said blah, 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 blah." I'm like, she just said that she's always lied. Because they'll be like, "You said blah, 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 but then you said blah, blah, blah. I have always said this." It's like, have always lied to us is what you just said. But to them, they think, "I just skirted that question." And it's like, you didn't, but most people listening will think that she just, and it's amazing. Like the words you choose will lead people to think one thing, but if they really think about what you said and the meaning of the words, it means something different. But it most people will think it means this, and it's like very entertaining to watch them do it.
I'm kind
I grew
of
up old. Paying attention to grammar and words. My mom was like a real wordsmith, and she was always talking about that. She was, pay attention to the words people choose. And listen, it is interesting.
The words I'm going to choose is, I have got to shut down this.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. It's been going on.
No. But we did another hour. So what I'm thinking is that I'm just,
we're all done for next time.
For the next show. We've already done that. Yeah. So excellent. Well done.
All right. All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Good to you.
Enjoy the month. I'll see you.
Yeah, right.
Be safe, honey. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Bye, Nancy.